the key period or a part of the key period of our history here in this county and in the country, 100 years on from the Civil War and some of the worst atrocities carried out during the Civil War, particularly here in Kerry with the killing of a number of Free State Army soldiers in a booby trap bomb in Knocknagoshal, followed on by several different instances of anti-treaty regulars being killed by Free State Army soldiers in landmines, booby-trapped landmines themselves, around different parts of the county, including Ballyseedy in Killarney and in Carr Savine. Well, with me in our studio this morning to talk about commemorating these events is former Fine Gael TD and former Fine Gael Minister, indeed, Jimmy Deenan, who's with the Kerry Archaeological and Historical Society. Jimmy, good morning to you.
Good morning, Gerry.
Tell me what's happening, first of all. Is this a joint commemoration, Knocknagoshal and Ballyseedy, or how is it being organised?
Well, it is. The Society has already had one event to commemorate what happened in the Civil War in Kerry. And that was back in October when Owen O'Shea gave a lecture based on his book, No Middle Path, the Civil War in Kerry. That was back in the 20th of October. And now as part of our programme, we were having a commemoration to mark what happened in Ballinarig Wood in Knocknagoshal and at Ballyseedy. And then following that, then on Thursday, March the 9th, Tim Horgan, local historian and member of the Society, is giving a lecture on the Civil War beyond the archives. That's on March 9th. And then on Saturday, March the 11th, Father Tom Looney and Tim Horgan is giving a special lecture at Countess Bridge. Father Looney had a connection with Countess Bridge. So that's part of our commemorative process. And it's obviously very important. The Society is non-political. I come from a political background, but it's not. That's not the reason why I'm in the Society. I was asked to become president of it. I was a former history teacher, and I'm very, very proud to have been president. I'm handing over the chain of office to Tony Bergen shortly. But I think these events are so important for a number of reasons. And they're in the spirit, really. I was involved in organising the whole, I suppose, schedule and programme for the centenary of the commemorations back when I was minister from 2011-2014, and I deliberately ensured that the following sentence would be written into the programme. There should be no partisan presentations, triumphalism, nor recriminations in the commemorative initiatives, and that's what the Society is doing at the moment.
Do you think we've achieved that so far?
I think we have achieved it so far. I think Micheál Martin going to Béal na Bláth was very important. Micheál Martin made a very important statement on that occasion. I think we've achieved it so far, and I hope that's going to be the spirit of the commemorations, which are very difficult and very sensitive, that we're going to have over the next 2 months now, because these are when the worst atrocities happened here in Kerry, starting with Knocknagoshal.
Yeah, and that was the crucial thing. And at Knocknagoshal, a party of 8 Free State soldiers went to investigate a tip-off about an IRA arms dump. The tip-off, of course, was a ruse devised by the local IRA brigade to lure them into a trap. And the mine was detonated as they were there. And it was the highest daily death toll among Free State Army in over 6 months, in a time when they were under attack from all sides. 5 soldiers, including Paddy O'Connor, Michael Galvin, Lawrence O'Connor, Michael Dunn and Edward Stapleton, died instantly, and a sixth was so badly injured his legs were amputated. So that kind of kicked things off into this period.
And definitely.
Is that why you're tying this to Ballyseedy and the other events, that it's all been commemorated together, not to give one preeminence over the other?
Absolutely. And when you look at the human interest stories of, say, Knocknagoshal, Lawrence O'Connor, for example, from Lissy Corrigan Causeway, he enlisted in the army when he was 18, but apparently he was only 17, and he was the eldest child of a family of 9 parents, John and Margaret O'Connor. He has several relatives in around Causeway, around that part, Kilmiley, Offert, around that part of the county. And then Patrick O'Connor, for example, he was from Knockonnity in Castle Island and up in Glenshiroon, and he was the only son at home. His five sisters had all immigrated to the USA, and his brother, Michael, was a priest. And, you know, everyone knows about, you know, the raid in their farm where they took their cows again, the anti-treaty force, and then he went in and joined the Free State Army, I suppose, to get retribution. And he was a big, I suppose, factor in identifying where certain people were in the anti-treaty forces around Castle Island, and then he was obviously
targeted as a result of that.
And even there was a Michael Gallivan too, from College Street in Killarney. He was a tailor. Again, he was, I think he had one brother, I think, who was in the mental hospital in Killarney, and two sisters who had gone to America. So then Edward Stapleton and Michael Dunn and Patrick O'Brien, they were all members of the squad in Dublin that, I suppose, really brought the British to the negotiating table, and they came down with the Dublin Guard, and they were, I suppose, seasoned kind of soldiers in a way that they had gone through the War of Independence in Dublin, where it was very intense. And then, I suppose, when they were blown up at Barnardig Wood, Paddy O'Daly, who was their comrade in arms in Dublin, and Dave Nelligan, I suppose they just lost it. They lost their composure. O'Daly hadn't been too bad up to then, apparently. But then they took retribution, which was, again, unjustified and shouldn't have happened, and so on. And just looking at what happened at Ballyseedy, from a personal point of view, I know many of these families personally. Paddy Fuller, for example, whose father, Stephen, was one of those lucky people who survived Ballyseedy, is a personal friend of mine for 50 years. John O'Shea, whose uncle, George, was again blown up in Ballyseedy, is a friend of mine for as long. And then you have people like Michael O'Connell, John Daly, Jim Welsh, John O'Connor, you know, all young people. And two people in particular that I have a close association with, their families who were blown up in Ballyseedy, were Patrick Buckley. He was born in Limerick, in Tournefalla, and he was in the RIC. He resigned from the RIC and then joined the Volunteers in 1919. And he had five children, for example.
Yeah.
And one, his granddaughter, actually, Deirdre Gallagher, who lives in San Jose, is a very close personal friend of mine for many years.
Yeah.
And then Pat Hartnett, for example, and this is very sensitive for me because he served in the local company with my uncle in the War of Independence, and they were very close friends, and he was one of the people blown up in Ballyseedy. So there are huge personal connections here between people that were on different sides, you know, in the war, in the Civil War. That's now going to surface. So we just have to be very careful in how this thing is managed, because it's still very raw underneath. And we just have to treat it very sensitively. This is 100 years later. This is what happened 100 years ago. People made drastic mistakes that cost lives and that ruined families forever. So people have to be sensitive about that, about the blame game.
Yeah, yeah, they do. And it's a fair point that you make. I know that prayers at both locations will be delivered by the Bishop of Kerry, Ray Brown, and the Church of Ireland, Reverend Canon Jim Stevens. The aim of the ceremonies is to be inclusive. Do you think that can be achieved, Jimmy?
Absolutely. At our ceremony, certainly it will be inclusive. And I would hope that as many of the families, and I've asked many of them, both the Knocknagoshal connection, which there are less, but the O'Connor family are making a major effort, as many as possible, be there. And I think that's going to be very, very important. And also at Ballyseedy, obviously there's more connection with Ballyseedy because they were all local people. Hopefully as many as possible will turn up on Saturday. We were going to have it on Sunday, but there are other commemorations on Sunday, and we didn't want to be overlapping with them.
Sure.
That's their space, but we're having it now on Saturday. We're starting in Knocknagosh at 2 o'clock, and then we're coming in then to Ballyseedy. People can park in Ballyseedy Garden Centre and then doing the commemoration.
Can I ask you, Jimmy, on the wider question of the state and how the state itself officially deals with it? There's a civil war conference this weekend in Chimsetira over the number of days, and the state pointing to that, the state has released a statement because there's been calls for the Taoiseach of the day to apologise for what was done at Ballyseedy and all of that. The government have said it's going to be publishing its kind of agenda for the year of 2023 in terms of what it does at the end of February, which is, I suppose, in the next 5 or 6 days' time. Should the Taoiseach attend, or is that making things too political? Either your commemoration or this commemoration or another commemoration to mark it, and we'll just pick Ballyseedy because of its notoriety.
Well, I'll certainly invite him. I'm going to invite Norma Foley, for example, our local minister, but any politician is welcome to come. I know it's for the society, we have over 600 members, but certainly we're going to invite any politician that wants to come. It's open for them to come, and I'd be issuing an invitation to Norma to come. I'm sure if she's available that she will come. But it's open, and I would be delighted if the Taoiseach came down on that day. Now that you said it, I would certainly issue him with an invite, and Micheál Martin as well, because I think Micheál Martin has done more than anyone, let me say, to bring people together in the commemoration, especially with what he did and said at Béal na Bláth. So it could be an opportunity maybe for people to come along with a non-political kind of society who have members from all political parties of Kerry. It could be that opportunity. It provides that platform where we could have a ceremony that's non-partisan, and then with the bishop and actually Jim Stevens, I think that will be there, the local rector, then it makes it totally non-political and non-partisan.
Jimmy, can I just finally put you on? I know Donald Murphy's got in touch to say the Knocknagosh Historical Society would like to thank you for your help and encouragement with the book on Knocknagosh history, which will be produced in April. I know this is happening March 4th. That's a Saturday, and following on through the days from that. But Jimmy, can I ask you, just watching and reading Ona Shea's book and watching the documentary that was on RTE at the start of the year on the Civil War, one of the things that struck me, rather than who did what to whom or which side was worse, the whole thing was, let's say, on one level a failure of leadership, but a failure to compromise that led to a total disaster for everyone, for the entire country. Like, there wasn't a road or a bridge left undestroyed in Kerry. Economically, it wiped us out. As you said, it destroyed families. The legacy was there for all to see from the archives as well, that showed the human devastation. But it was just it was a cataclysmic disaster for the young state. Rather than who did what and who was at fault, it was that they couldn't get it together to stop it from happening, or the worst of it from happening, perhaps. Is that the greatest lesson out of it?
And we should not ever repeat what happened with the Civil War. And look, as Tom Dyer said in his book in the Civil War in Kerry, the conflict itself here in Kerry constituted a far more bloody, bitterly waged and protracted conflict in terms of lives lost, damage to property, disruption of people's daily lives, and its impact on the local economy than the war waged against the British. Yeah. Definitely, the great Tom Wolfe said that the Civil War in Kerry was fought with much more intensity than the War of Independence, for example. And that's maybe because the Dublin Guard came to Kerry. They were hardened soldiers, having really took on the British establishment in Dublin.
Possibly desensitized to violence from having gone through that trauma themselves.
And when you look at it, like, in just August and September of 1922, 35 members of the National Army were killed in Kerry, and that was the equivalent of the Royal Irish Constabulary's entire death toll during the War of Independence in the county.
That tells
its own story. But look, Condie, the man who escaped and got to Glanna and who took the anti-treaty side and then who went to America, he did an interview in the New York Telegraph in 1965, and he said that he thought about the people in Gortaglanna every day, but he finished by saying that he would hope that Irish men and women would never shoot themselves again.
Yeah.
So that, I think he summed it up there.
Yeah, they never shoot each other again. Okay, yeah. Jimmy, we're going to leave it there. My thanks to you for talking to us about that this morning and going through that for us. That's Jimmy Deenan there, former minister and current president of the Kerry Archaeological and Historical Society. March 4th, Knocknagoshla, 2 p.m. That's a Saturday. Then Ballyseedy at 3 p.m. A name call of those who died in both massacres, prayers in both locations from the Catholic Bishop of Kerry, Ray Brown, and the Church of Ireland, Reverend Canon Jim Stevens. Aim of the ceremonies is to be inclusive.